You're listening to Consider This, episode 174, for April 10th, 2017.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are. Welcome to a podcast with 100% of your required dose of conservative commentary. This is Consider This, and I'm your host, Doug Payton, here to make sure you get a 100 on your score in politics. And this crash course will be done in 10 minutes or less. If you want to be the teacher's pet, send me some feedback to be used on this show. Call me at 267-CALL-CT0 for an oral report, or write me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com for a written one. That's CT as in century theme. Criticism for a politician trying to protect his marriage, and the British NHS gets something less than a 100 on its report card. That's coming up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we did it. We got 100 likes on the Facebook page. I'd like to congratulate listener Brian Winicky for being the lucky winner. What did he win? Well, mention on the podcast. And how about a free copy of my book? If I ever write one. But you do have my thanks, Brian. And Benji Regan and Greg Cunningham have kicked off our climb to 200. Thanks to you, Benji and Greg, for getting that effort going. We've seen it before. A politician whose personal life has overshadowed whatever else they've done. Usually, it's a man who carried out an affair, he got caught, and his political career unraveled, or at least, he lost any moral authority. One would think, then, that a politician that would try to keep himself from such compromising situations, even those that would just appear to be compromising, is one that people could appreciate. Whatever your thoughts about his policies, staying faithful would be a good thing, right? Well, apparently not. And not surprisingly, criticizing such behavior generally means you're on the political left. Vice President Mike Pence has some rules he follows regarding his social engagements. He won't eat alone with a woman other than his wife. He won't attend any event where alcohol is served without his wife. And he won't work late with a female staffer. This is sometimes referred to as the Billy Graham rule, after the evangelist who would not travel, meet, or eat alone with a woman other than his wife. Understanding how pastors and politicians have failed in this regard over the generations, you'd think that trying to avoid such a breakup of the family would be met with appreciation. Instead, Pence has been called a misogynist for such rules, rules that he is not trying to force others to follow, by the way. This is misogynistic because it supposedly keeps women from his inner circle, unable to get one-on-one time with him. What is ignored in these criticisms is that this is keeping his marriage healthy and his reputation intact. It won't help to have been in the inner circle of a Jonathan Edwards, or a Gary Hart, or a Gary Condit, or a Newt Gingrich, or an Anthony Weiner, if their political career is tanked because of inappropriate contact with other women. Pence put his priorities this way, quote, "I've lost more elections than I've won. I've seen friends lose their families. I'd rather lose an election." Close quote. If only more men respected their wives this way, the world would be a better place and marriages would be stronger. In the meantime, the left can lionize their rock stars like Bill Clinton. We were told that we had no business judging his behavior. And it seems like those same people are now judging Pence's steps to avoid it. What's the real message here?
This is Eric Erickson. You're listening to the 10-minute or less conservative podcast, Consider This.
When touting socialized medicine, the left loves to hold up Britain's National Health Service, the NHS, as an example of socialism that works. Well, it depends on what you mean by works. A new report out of Britain by a group called the King's Fund paints a bleak picture regarding financial strain, staff shortages, and unprecedented demand resulting in healthcare shortfalls, even with rationing in place. They keep telling us that taking the profit motive out of healthcare will make it better for all. It's just that it never actually works out that way in practice. Here are some facts about what is really happening across the pond. According to the UK Independent, district nurses declined by nearly 50% from 2000 to 2014 and 15% from 2014 to 2016. The NHS is also looking at the possibility of conscripting hundreds of doctors from India and Pakistan, as well as requiring doctors to work for the NHS for 5 years once their training is finished to deal with doctor shortages. Yeah, that'll encourage more people to become doctors. A report from the Patients Association found that tens of thousands of patients seeking routine surgeries had to wait over 18 weeks. There was an 80% increase in elective surgeries from 2014 to 2015. Additionally, more major operations, such as hip and knee replacements, had an average wait time of over 100 days. And this, of course, is what happens naturally after you discourage doctors from entering the field. A study conducted by the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine concluded that around 750 patients a month die due to subpar quality of care, and that includes, quote, inattentive monitoring of the patient's condition, doctors making the wrong diagnosis, or patients being prescribed the wrong medication, close quote. In other words, incompetence. And this, of course, is what happens naturally after you discourage doctors from entering the field. According to a study conducted by University College London and Columbia University, a little less than 10% of British patients died in hospital afterwards, compared to 2.5% in America. So then, is this the target we should be shooting for? Maybe just a little socialism would be good. I guess it would just get us a little closer to 10%. There's more at the link in the show notes. You can probably point to areas or instances where this worked for groups or individuals, but the general trend is down. That's not some outsider pointing fingers. These are the British pointing out the flaws in a British system. And they are flaws that plague any socialist-style system. It's a historic certainty. They say that those that don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. Very true. But I'd also add that those who don't learn from history will kill those who thought it sounded like a good idea, and even those who didn't. You know, when you put it that way, well, will even that really change any minds away from the idea? The ideal seems to be all they can consider, never mind the reality. And can we ever get something resembling consistency from the left regarding any issue of a sexual nature? Affairs are none of your business, but preventing that temptation is misogynistic. Sexual preference is set in stone, but gender preference is fluid. Can you make any sense of it? If you can, or even if you can't, visit the website considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, and there are pointers to so many ways to get in touch: phone, email, Facebook, Twitter, and even Snapchat. There's also a transcript of the show and links to everything I referred to, so you can read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Look into this for yourself. And if you come to a different conclusion, let us know so that we can consider this.